I have had special prayers to not be inspired during my sermon and to stick to my text. Unusually, this morning, all three lectionary readings come from the New Testament. We haven't got an Old Testament reading. Chronologically, Acts is the earliest, written about 67 AD. That's about 34 years after the ascension of Jesus. John wrote his gospel around 86 AD, something like 53 years after the ascension of Jesus. And some years after that, some 6 years after that, around 92 AD, he wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Our reading in Acts, rather political one, records a dramatic confrontation between Peter and the apostles and the high priest in Jerusalem, the most influential person in the established religion that had behind it the might and power of Rome. The confrontation is quick and terse. The high priest speaks once. His intention is to silence those who might disrupt the religious or political status quo. Nip disturbance in the bud is a very good philosophy. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. The old blood libel. The apostles, led by Peter, answers the high priest and also speaks only once. The core of their answer to the high priest is the radical, explosive message of resurrection. God raised up Jesus and exalted him in power and honor. Peter gives no explanation, and the claim is not debated. We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree, a great curse. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses to this. We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those, there's a clause, who obey him. It struck me when I was writing that, and again now I'm having one of my asides already, that maybe there is something to look at here. When we pray and fail to receive answers, or when we pray for direction, maybe we need to clean out our laundry first, our spiritual laundry, so that we are in tune with the Lord. But it's the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. Are we in obedience? Anyway, the foundational truth that would underpin the soon-to-be-born church is wrongly stated by Peter. Little did the establishment realize, as Bob Dylan once sang to us, the line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast. As the present now will later be past, the order is rapidly fading. The first one now will be later last. For the times they are a-changing. A radical change has also taken place in Christ's disciples. A short while ago, they scattered after his arrest and went into hiding, locking themselves up for fear of the Jews. Now these companions of Christ doubly speak the truth to power, courageously declaring that the once crucified Jesus of Nazareth has indeed risen from the dead. We hear the Christ-denying fisherman from Galilee, the hot-tempered, foul-mouthed Peter, who now, like us, has been forgiven and restored by Jesus. And he declaring to the face of the authorities of Judaic law, we must obey God rather than any human authority. Religious and political authorities will not be obeyed when it contradicts, suppresses, or tries to silence these disciples testifying to the bodily resurrection of the certified death or the certified dead Jesus. We may indeed wonder how the Christian church has become so politically and socially compliant that we misread these now emasculated biblical texts. Oh yes, these were appropriate notions then, but not now, not in our age of globalist enlightenment and chicanery. The apostles are undeterred by the hostility of the established order to their proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus, and throughout their subsequent lives readily risk life and limb for the sake of the good news entrusted to them by Jesus. Life tested their and our commitment to him. 11 of the 12 died as martyrs. John was the exception, who at 95 died simply of good old age. The apostles were undeterred, and the words of the Te Deum came to my mind, and the noble army of martyred generations, past and present, were and are undeterred. We must obey God rather than any human authority. The radical political and social implications of the gospel of Jesus Christ unnerved many a godless political ideology and many a godless social philosophy. And to what extent, aside, to what extent do we look at Scripture through the eyes of almost subconsciously, of the ideology that we hold to, even unconsciously? How tinted are our glasses? The control and power of every man-made, even demonic, conceived ism are invariably threatened. And I have a difficult sentence here, so I'll repeat it. Are invariably threatened by the living fusion irradiating from God's love for his humanity and his creation through the eternal cosmic Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, and our Savior. I will repeat it, please. Because the great powers that be are threatened by our primary loyalty, and history has shown us they suppress it. And there are many ways of suppressing it. Are all your eyes exhausted from reading about the destruction of Christian people around the world that we read about in the mass media? They're not. They are invariably threatened by the living fusion from God's love. God's love irradiating all. You can't compete with it. God's love for his humanity, God's love for his creation, all through the eternal cosmic Christ Jesus, our Lord, our resurrected Lord, our God and our Savior. Hence the relentless undermining throughout history of Christ's believing people and his church. But his promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it has held and is holding. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell prevailing against the church shall not prevail. The church will prevail against the gates of hell because of what we commemorated last Sunday. Look! Thank you, Greg, for that reading. Look! Look, look! He is coming with the clouds. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings of the earth. Every eye will see him, Alpha and Omega, the God who is, the God who was, and the God who is to come, the Almighty. And as some American friend said once, read to the end of the Bible, God wins. So, they may be serious days, but God wins. We must know the rock from whence we are hewn. Otherwise, we will be blown to kingdom come, except for the covenant and grace of God. So, changing gear, before concluding, I needs must comment on the Apostle Thomas and the bad press he has unfairly received down the generations. We are not unlike Thomas. Never stop us from finger pointing, of course. We never look at ourselves. We are not unlike him. We, Christ's current disciples, look a lot like the original disciples. Our lives are a mixture of fear and joy, of doubt and fear, or doubt and faith. We stumble to belief. It is to people like us the apostles are preaching. And it is to us the natural ending of John's gospel speaks. John tells us that what he wrote was that we might believe, and through believing, have life in Jesus. Through Thomas's questioning, John emphasizes that Jesus' resurrected body carries the wounds of his earthly life. You would have thought that with the great power in the resurrection, there would have been the healing. No trace of the wounds. Resurrection transforms, but does not erase Jesus' prior suffering. The risen Jesus encounters his friends, both then and now, us, as the one who has been wounded. Some soften the idea that Jesus' invitation to Thomas is merely a visual aid to strengthen Thomas's weak faith. Instead, we can also see Jesus' challenge to believe as a test of faith in a different way. Jesus is challenging Thomas and the other disciples and us to confront the wounds inflicted on us through life. Instead of trying to deny or hide them, he's showing his wounds. Denial is toxic, stunts growth, and causes dis-ease. When the healing love of Jesus touches our wounds, they are transformed into spiritual backbone. They are transformed into badges of honor. They are transformed into medals of victory. He resurrected brings his wounds back to us, and we can come forward with our wounds. Say but the word, and our souls shall be healed. Also, by way of supporting Thomas, remember that this doubting Thomas, with all his weaknesses, with all his attitude, whatever, but look at the result. He responds with the highest expression of faith in Jesus we find in the New Testament, or in the Gospels, I should say. Look at his response. My Lord and my God. What a prayer to be uttered from a doubting person. Do not be afraid of your doubt. The truth is strong. The truth will stand any question. So be cool and bring it to the Lord in prayer. Amen.